I remember once being quite far offshore. It was very deep water. And Dad and his friends got in the water and went down for a dive. And I was on the boat with the skipper. And I decided I wanted to get in the water and just paddle around. But it's black water, you know, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. So got in the water and put on my mask and looks down, and it was just, it's just fathomless. Like, I couldn't see the bottom, and I was just so excited. I was just thrilled by this sensation of this black water underneath me. And I know it sounds scary, but it was just this wonderful excitement of kind of having this massive unknown space underneath me. So I've always been pretty drawn to those kinds of sensations, I think, and that's why I really remember it really strongly from childhood. Did a lot of snorkeling and free diving with my family when I was growing up. And then I think I just became like a terrible juvenile delinquent teenager, and I was all about, you know, being a bogan and just wasn't really interested in anything to do with the natural world for a while. So it took a while. It wasn't until I think to my sort of twins that I started to get back into nature. And it was, you know, I logged kind of a little bit of snorkeling here and there, but it was actually rock climbing that was the kind of big pull back to nature. And rock climbing is how I met my husband. And we were both obsessed with rock climbing, and we did a lot of it together, and we climbed all over the place. But the thing about rock climbing is when you're in Perth, it's very hot in summer here, and you cannot climb when it's super hot. Like, the rock surface is just, it's unbearable. And so I started to get back into snorkeling again, because we live in this amazing place where in summer it's just incredible to go snorkeling. But it wasn't something that my husband was interested in doing, because he was actually quite scared of the ocean. And I remember one summer, maybe about 5 years ago, I floated the idea with him of, you know, trying a bit of snorkeling with me, because I was getting back into it again. And I just wanted to share that with him. So he quite tentatively began and started snorkeling with me, and realized, you know, just how amazing this world is under the surface. When I suggested that maybe we do a freediving course together, he said, yep. So we did this course together, and it's, you know, it's, you're training in Wallulup waters and in the river, and you're learning all these amazing things about your body and your body's own response to being immersed in water and going deeper underwater, and how your body protects itself. Like, it protects the lungs and heart by sending blood there, and your spleen pushes out extra blood, and your heart rate naturally slows. So it was just this, you know, kind of earth-shifting realization to both of us that there was so much more we could do underwater than we first realized. We could hold our breath for a lot longer than we realized. We could do this safely, and we loved it. And then COVID hit, and it was this incredible thing that we could keep doing. You could feel immersed in nature without leaving the city. So we would go to the river, and we would set up a line with a weight, and you can get to 20 meters quite close to shore in the river. So there's a real advantage to diving in the river, because it's calm when it's rough out in the sea, and it's deep as well. And it has this different quality. And I remember training there with my husband one day, and this person who, you know, just a couple of years earlier would not have gone further than a few meters out in the water. And we were line training, and he made it to the bottom of the line. So this line is like nearly 20 meters to the bottom. And I was his buddy, and I was waiting at the halfway point. And when you dive in the river, it's really different to the ocean. It's, you know, it's a mixture of sort of brine and fresh water, but it has a lot of tannins in it, a lot of algae, and it's this deep, rich green color, and it gets very dark when you get to the bottom. It's really dark, like almost black. And I was waiting at the halfway point, and he just emerged out of this darkness back up the line, and he was just so calm and quietly determined in what he was doing, and this sense that he had overcome this fear and that he was able to to free dive down this line into the depths and back up again. And yeah. Free diving is also referred to as apnea. So it's the sort of absence of breath. So you are holding your breath. You don't have any specialized dive equipment, any breathing apparatuses. You're just taking your own breath with you. You have a weight belt and you have longer fins than fins that you might use for scuba diving. And if you're line training in the river, you'll go out to the point where the depth is where you want it to be. And then you're taking a floating buoy with you and you drop a line with a weight down to the bottom. So we would swim out from the edge of the river to where we knew it was deep because other free divers had told us. And we would drop the line down, would hit the bottom, and we would know that was, you know, that would be the 20 meter point. And then when you're free diving, you use this buddy system so that you're staying safe. And you spend a lot of time at the surface, first of all, just preparing yourself, quieting your mind, being aware of your body. So much of freediving it's really mental training. It's about recognizing the buildup of CO2 in your body and not responding to it, but knowing how safe you can go, how long you can hold your breath, and moving really efficiently underwater so you're not using up that oxygen you have in your blood. And staying calm so you're not raising your heart rate by being anxious or letting your mind race around. So it's really this form of meditation almost, where you're learning how to be incredibly calm under the water. So the free diver will ready themselves and then they'll make their dive and they'll dive down. And so they're diving along parallel to the line and they're keeping their head tucked in. They're not looking down. So they're kind of following that line down and down. And their buddy will dive to about the halfway point and wait for them there. And so when the diver turns around at the bottom and comes back up, their buddy is waiting halfway to make sure that they make it safely back up to the surface again. Because it's the greatest risk for a free diver is shallow water blackout. So it's in those final kind of 5 to 2 meters that, because of this change of partial pressure in your body and these other things physiologically that are happening, that is when you're actually most likely to lose consciousness if you're going to black out. It's very uncommon, but you want to have a buddy there with you. But it's not when you're at the bottom. That's when you're least likely to actually pass out. But, you know, there's a lot that you can do to free dive really safely and look after each other and look after yourself when you're diving. Yeah, there's a quote. I don't think I can remember it properly, but it's around, you know, scuba diving is you're going down to look around, but free diving, you're looking inside yourself. It's actually a famous sort of free diving quote that, yeah, it all sounds very, very woke and new age, but it is about mindfulness. It's about being present and kind of just you're learning about yourself. You're understanding your own thresholds and tolerances, and you're learning how to be comfortable and calm. And I mean, you're diving with a buddy, but ultimately you are by yourself when you're down the bottom at the end of that line. And so you really need to be calm and be comfortable with what you're doing. And so you train, it's not about ego. You're not there to just push yourself as hard as you can. You're there to kind of listen to your body and learn how to slowly expand what you can do underwater. So when you're diving while you're up waters or in the river, there's this beautiful crackling sound, and it's actually tiny, tiny little shrimp that are making this popping sound, and it's their bodies kind of clicking against themselves. So that's the most common sound that you can hear when you're in the water is this kind of clicking sound that's from little shrimps and copepods. Sometimes you can hear dolphins if they're nearby. You can hear jet skis wherever they are. That sound just reverberates so far. It's horrible. Sometimes, if you're very lucky, you might hear the croaking of a mulloway. So they are called croakers or groaners, and they use their swim bladder in this particular way to like emit this kind of growling sound almost. So it was believed actually that I think it was the early colonists that heard this sound and thought that there was a monster that inhabited the Derbal Yerrigan, and actually It was the Mulloway fish croaking. My husband and I were training in the river and free diving quite regularly in the Dabbal Yerrigan and kind of in Wallulup waters, and that was something that we could do during COVID. But the next year he was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, and he couldn't climb or dive straight after the operation, and it's been a very hard time. Losing him's been the hardest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And we went diving one more time, and it was so brave of him to face, you know, all of his fears at once about what was happening to him and getting back in the water again and diving. We went for a couple of snorkels, and remember, like, the neurologist saying, like, my husband asked him, you know, can I dive? And he was like, you can do anything you want to do. Which I think was, you know, because he knew he didn't have a lot of time left, he was like, the risk is not really that important compared to the joy that you will get. So, yeah, the last dive we did was actually off a jetty, and my husband was diving to, he was quite sick, but he was still diving to about 15 metres, which is amazing, considering he hadn't even been diving that long, and it was beautifully clear. And there was just, the water was full of fish, and there were little nudibranchs on the pylons and sponges everywhere. It was beautiful. But then when I lost him, I couldn't go climbing again outdoors, and I stopped diving as well for quite a while because it was just too hard. But then I realised recently that I was really missing something. I was missing that sensation of going down the line into the dark water and just how calming it is to me. And there's something specific about the sensation when you go below neutral buoyancy. So neutral buoyancy is around 10 metres if you're weighted properly when you're free diving. Below that, you start to have negative buoyancy, so you're actually get heavier. All of the air spaces in your body are compressing, and you're getting exponentially heavier as you're getting deeper. So you stop finning, and you start just gliding down and faster and faster. And it's an amazing feeling. You know, it's frightening when you first start learning about free fall, but it's so incredible as well, because you were just flying down this into the depths without even having to fin. And so a couple of months ago, I started freediving again, and I went and I did the 8-3 course. It was really hard to do it without my husband, but I know he would have been proud that I did it. And I really need that sensation again of being in the dark water. God, that was a big one. No. I'll put chalky. Oh, look, you know, it's fucked doing things without your partner when they're suddenly not there. It's terrifying. But you have to, or you just turn inwards and do nothing. So, I pushed myself and decided to enroll in the 8-3 course, and it's quite hard training, and it's a hard course. It's like a lot more advanced than 8-2. So, it was good. I couldn't really think about anything else when I was doing the course. There's no time to feel sorry for yourself. You're really pushing yourself quite hard to get all the skills you need to pass it. And yeah, I think I got a lot back by doing that. And I think it's learning that I can do hard things alone. Like, you know, I mean, when you're freediving, like I said, you're always alone at the end of the line. It's just knowing that my husband's not going to be my buddy waiting for me halfway anymore is really hard. But there's a whole community of other divers out there. And yeah, there's that sense of strength in myself that I'm still able to do this thing that I love. And that sensation when you're free falling down the line, but also when you're coming back up, when you're, you know, you're near the surface and you can see kind of the sunlight through the water, and it's such a beautiful sensation. It's really hard to describe why freediving is so special, because you're not, I mean, you're encountering sea life, you know, or river life when you're there, but that's not what you're there for. You're there for these other experiences that are kind of harder to describe, but they're, you know, they leave you with this sensation afterwards, and that's what freediving has given back to me is, you know, this joy of that sensation and feeling strong while I'm doing it.